Paeonium, number 8. Third line overview.
Seleucus III Soranus ruled briefly as king from 226 to 223 BC before being assassinated or dying under mysterious circumstances. Seleucus III was the immediate predecessor of Antiochus III. The two brothers represent the sons of verse 10, and they represent Reagan and Bush in 1989.
But his sons shall be stirred up and shall assemble a multitude of great forces, and one shall certainly come and overflow and pass through. Then shall he return and be stirred up even to his fortress. Daniel 11 verse 10.
Verse 10 is the third line, and it represents the time of the end in 1989. It ties together with verse 40 of chapter 11 and Isaiah 8 verse 8. The connection of these three verses identifies that verse 11 represents the current Ukrainian war, with Putin and Zelensky as the antagonists represented in the Battle of Rafia set forth in verse 11. Verse 12 identifies the aftermath of the Ukrainian war and the fate of Putin. Verse 13 through 15 is the Battle of Paeonium. The theme of verse 10 is the time of the end, and in agreement with the principles associated with the unsealing of truth at the time of the end of verse, though only one verse has a multitude of prophetic lines represented. Verse 10 identifies the beginning of the hidden history of verse 40, which marks the beginning of the movement of the third angel and the sealing of the 144,000. The verse connects the seven times of Leviticus 26 as identified in the vision, which begins in Isaiah chapter 7. That connection marks the combining of divinity with humanity, which is the finishing of the mystery of godliness during the sounding of the seventh trumpet, which is the third woe of Islam. The verse marks 1989 as the time of the end, and with the connection of Leviticus 26 seven times, it includes the foundational truth of William Miller and the rebellion of 1863. The verse starts the hidden history of verse 40. It is therefore an essential element of the increase of knowledge that arrives at the time of the end in 1989 and begins the prophetic illustration of the external events that make up the hidden history of verse 40, and through its connection with the seven times also identifies the internal events in the history between 1989 and the Sunday Law. The number 10 is a symbol of a test, and the verse's connection with the vision of Isaiah 7, which places an emphasis upon understanding the truth.
For the head of Syria is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is Rezin. And within 65 years shall Ephraim be broken, that it be not a people. And the head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is Remaliah's son. If you will not believe, surely ye shall not be established. Isaiah 7 verses 8 and 9.
You will not be established if you do not believe that a head represents a capital city, Samaria and Damascus, and a king, Rezin and Remaliah's son Pekah. If you do not understand those three interchangeable symbols in the context of Isaiah 8, verse 8, which is the same vision as chapter 7, then you will not be able to identify Putin and Russia as the king of the south in verses 11 through 15.
Now therefore, behold, the Lord bringeth up upon them the waters of the river, strong and many, even the king of Assyria and all his glory. And he shall come up over all his channels and go over all his banks. And he shall pass through Judah. He shall overflow and go over. He shall reach even to the neck. And the stretching out of his wings shall fill the breadth of thy land, O Emmanuel. Isaiah 8 verses 7 and 8.
The theme of verse 10 is a three-step testing process that begins at the time of the end and leads to the close of probation at the Sunday Law.
And he said, "Go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand." Daniel 12 verses 9 and 10.
At the time of the end, the book of Daniel is unsealed and a three-step testing process, as represented by purified and made white and tried, begins. The wise understand, the wicked do not understand. Their lack of understanding, just as their lack of oil in the parable of the 10 virgins causes them to be destroyed.
My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. Hosea 4 verse 6.
The words "my people" means a covenant people, and these covenant people are to be rejected and destroyed for lack of knowledge. The Sunday law in the United States is the waymark where things are forgotten or remembered. Remember the Sabbath day is present truth at that point. It is there the Whore of Tyre is remembered. It is there that God remembers the sins of Babylon in Revelation.
And I heard another voice from heaven, saying, "Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works. And the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double." Revelation 18 verses 4 to 6.
It is there that the children, or the prophetic last generation of Laodicean Adventism, is cut off. It is there that those who Daniel calls the wicked manifest that they had forgot God's law, and the portion of God's law which they forgot is God's prophetic rules or laws. The context is clearly that they lack the knowledge that is increased when the book of Daniel is unsealed. Daniel contrasts the wise with the wicked and Jesus the wise virgins with the foolish virgins. Amos identifies the same class as fair virgins as those who are unable to find the prophetic message represented by the east, north, and seas.
"Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. In that day shall the fair virgins and young men faint for thirst. They that swear by the sin of Samaria, and say, Thy God, O Dan, liveth, and the manor of Beersheba liveth. Even they shall fall and never rise up again."
Amos 8 verses 11 to 14. The message they cannot find is represented by where they are looking as they wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. Amos says these fair virgins are in a famine of hearing the word of the Lord, and that in that day they shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. The message that was unsealed from the book of Daniel at the time of the end in 1989 in fulfillment of verse 40 and also of verse 10 of chapter 11 is summarized in the final two verses of chapter 11.
"But tidings out of the east and out of the north shall trouble him. Therefore he shall go forth with great fury to destroy and utterly to make away many. And he shall plant the tabernacles of his palace between the seas in the glorious holy mountain. Yet he shall come to his end, and none shall help him." Daniel 11 verses 44 and 45.
The foolish, fair, and wicked virgins who lack the oil, the message of the east, north, and seas who rejected knowledge and God's covenant and law are remembered by God at the Sunday law. Three battles are represented in verses 10 through 15. I separate these three battles into three histories, but they are also aligned when considered together, for verse 10 opens up the time of the end and therefore initiates a three-step testing process. Verse 10 connects with the seven times of Leviticus 26 and therefore the foundations of Adventism and William Miller's work. The second step of the three steps is a visual test that began when the light of verse 11 and the Ukrainian war opened up. The second test is visual and represents a test concerning our ability to recognize current events in the light of God's prophetic word. The third test is the Battle of Paneum of verse 15, where Simon Barjona's name was changed to Peter and thus marked the sealing of the 144,000 just before probation closes at the Sunday law of verse 16. When we consider Antiochus Magnus' appearance in each of the three battles represented by verse 10, 11, and 15, we also see the history of verse 9 through 16, the rise and fall of the false prophet of Bible prophecy. Verses 1 through 4 identify the rise and fall of the dragon power. Verses 9 and 10 identify 1798 and 1989 respectively, and in so doing, verses 9 through 16 identify the rise and fall of the false prophet. Verses 40 to 45 represent the rise and fall of the beast. Verses 9 and 10 also align with verse 40's two time of the ends in 1798 and 1989. Sister White informs us clearly that to misunderstand the time of the end produces confusion as to where to apply the prophecies.
Many are doing the same thing today, in 1897, because they have not had experience in the testing message comprehended in the first, second, and third angels' messages. There are those who are searching the scriptures for proof that these messages are still in the future. They gathered together the truthfulness of the messages, but they failed to give them their proper place in prophetic history. Therefore, such are in danger of misleading the people in regard to locating the messages. They do not see and understand the time of the end, or when to locate the messages. The day of God is coming with stealthy tread, but the supposed wise and great men are prating about higher education, which they suppose originates with finite men. They know not the signs of Christ's coming, or of the end of the world. Sermons and Talks, Volume 1, 290.
Verse 10's theme is the time of the end, and there are several time of the ends identified in chapter 11. If you do not see and understand the time of the ends in chapter 11, you will not know when to locate the messages. She says, there are those who are searching the scriptures, and as with all prophets, her words are addressing the last days. So in the last days, those she is identifying are a class who do not understand the time of the end. So they are also Amos fair virgins who fall and never rise again. In chapter 11, verse 1, Darius and Cyrus stand together to mark the time of the end in 1989, when Ptolemy went to Babylon and took the northern king into captivity in Egypt in 246 BC, in turn typifying 1798 as represented in verses 7 through 9, it was a time of the end. Verse 10 is the time of the end in 1989. 1798 is the end of the 2520 years of scattering against the northern kingdom of Israel, which began in 723 BC. 1260 years later, in 538, the papacy ruled for 1260 years until 1798. 1798 is a time of the end, for it is the end of the seven times, and also the 1260 years, as well as the 1290 years of Daniel chapter 12. 1798 is a time of the end, and therefore 538 is also a time of the end. 538 is the end of the 1260 years that paganism trampled down God's sanctuary and his host, which preceded Papaliism doing the same work for the same amount of time. 538 represents the empowerment of the papacy, and in so doing it represents the empowerment of the papacy again at the Sunday Law. The Sunday Law identifies a time of the end. Therefore, verse 16, as well as verse 1, 7 through 9, and verse 10 all mark the time of the end. This truth is to be understood by those who know when to locate the messages. Pompey fulfilled verse 16 when he took Jerusalem. He was followed by Julius Caesar, Augustus Caesar, and Tiberius Caesar. Jesus' birth was a time of the end, and it took place in the time of Augustus Caesar.
Then shall stand up in his estate a raiser of taxes in the glory of the kingdom. But within few days he shall be destroyed, neither in anger nor in battle. Daniel 11, verse 20.
Verse 20 adds to the list of time of the ends in chapter 11, and so does Tiberius Caesar, who ruled during the crucifixion of Christ.
And in his estate shall stand up a vile person, to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom. But he shall come in peaceably and obtain the kingdom by flatteries. And with the arms of a flood shall they be overflown from before him, and shall be broken, yea, also the prince of the covenant. Daniel 11 verses 21 and 22.
The cross stands at the center of the prophetic week, which Christ came to confirm with many.
And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Daniel 9, verse 27.
In the midst of the week, we have a beginning and an ending for the first 1260 days ended right where the next 1260 days started. The week aligns with the seven times of scattering against the northern kingdom that represented both paganism and Papalism trampling down the sanctuary and host.
Then I heard one saint speaking, and another saint said unto that certain saint which spake, How long shall be the vision concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression of desolation, to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot? Daniel 8, verse 13.
538 is a time of the end, and it aligns with the cross, which is also the end of a prophetic period. 538 and the cross provide two witnesses that both the beginning and ending of a prophecy is prophetically marked as a time of the end. Verses 21 and 22, verse 20, verse 16, verse 10, verses 7 through 9, and verse 1 all mark the time of the end. Verse 23 identifies the league the Maccabean Jews made with pagan Rome in 161 to 158 BC. The history of the Hasmonean dynasty from their initial battle unto their ending in the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD represents apostate Protestantism in the United States beginning in 1844, the end of a time prophecy, and therefore a time of the end, and ending at the Sunday law as represented by 70 AD. Verse 23 identifies a time of the end in 167 BC at the Battle of Modian and also in 70 AD, both typifying 1844 and the Sunday law respectively. Verse 23, verses 21 and 22, verse 20, verse 16, verse 10, verses 7 through 9, and verse 1 all mark the time of the end. Verse 24 identifies the 360-year supremacy of pagan Rome, thus marking both the beginning in 31 BC and ending in 330 as time of the ends. Verse 27 and 29 identify both the beginning and ending of that period. So verse 24, verse 27, verse 29, verse 23, verses 21 and 22, verse 20, verse 16, verse 10, verses 7 through 9, and verse 1 all mark the time of the end. Verse 31 identifies 538 when the abomination that maketh desolate was placed, and verses 36 and 40 identify 1798 as the time of the end. 538 in verse 31 and 1798 in verses 36 and 40, verses 27 and 29, verse 24, verse 23, verses 21 and 22, verse 20, verse 16, verse 10, verses 7 through 9, and verse 1 all mark the time of the end. The time of the end is marked 13 times before verse 41, which is the Sunday law, and another time of the end, as is verse 45, when the Pope comes to his end with none to help. 15 times the time of the end is located in chapter 11. Verse 10's theme is the time of the end. It represents the truths which are unsealed in the sealing time of the 144,000. We will continue in the next article.